Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Some passages of the Bible stand out more than others. It's not because they're more inspired, because all Scripture is inspired of God. It is not because they're more important, because all are important in their context. It is because in them are found key thoughts, all-inclusive and comprehensive concepts. John 3:16 is one such passage. The same might be said of Revelation 2:10, Micah 6:8, and many, many others. But surely Romans 1 and verse 16 is such a passage. It provides us the key to the book of Romans, a great doctrinal book that presents to us as full a picture of the system of salvation as can be found in any one New Testament writing. As we consider a few thoughts on Romans 1:16, we exalt the gospel, that one message above all others that deserves man's complete attention. And what is the gospel of Christ? It is good news that has come from Christ, that is about Christ, that belongs to Christ, that embraces the scheme or system that deity has devised and delivered for the salvation of man from his sins. It is good news because man, lost in his transgressions, can be saved. It is the glad tidings of the redemption of the soul. The New Testament is more than just a record of historical events and doctrines. It is an account of something that happened in this world that God designed for the benefit of mankind. It is a revelation from God. It's of God. It's to man and for man. Therein is the philosophy of life that has been revealed by the Creator of life. Therein is the religion, the moral and spiritual principles and teachings that have come from the mind of deity. Verse 17 of Romans 1 said, therein is revealed the righteousness of God. Friend, the founder and author of the New Testament faith is the only begotten Son of the true and living God. Paul said he was not ashamed of the gospel. In fact, it's accurate to say that Paul was proud of the gospel. He was proud to have the privilege to preach the gospel. He was thankful for the gospel and what the gospel did. He was glad for whence from which it came. He was glad for the dignity and the benefit it produced. And he proclaimed it with boldness and with clarity, without any hesitation, without fear or favor, and he declared it to the fullest extent. He said in Acts 20 and verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Whether he was before friends or foes, Paul demonstrated that he was never, ever ashamed of the gospel. He was not ashamed of it in Athens, the center of culture and education. He was not ashamed of it in Corinth, a focal point of immorality and lasciviousness and all manner of moral degeneracy. He was not ashamed of it in Ephesus, even in the presence of idolatry and great Diana, the goddess of the Ephesians. Nor was he ashamed to proclaim the gospel in Jerusalem, the city of the Jews, steeped in traditionalism and ritualism and religious and racial prejudices, before kings and peasants alike, in freedom or in bondage, to male and to female. Paul was proud of the gospel of Christ, and so should we be proud of it. We ought never be ashamed in the shop or in the school or in the office, whether at play or at work, at home, at the assembly. Never, ever, anywhere, anytime dare we reflect against the gospel by being ashamed of it. The gospel came from God. Romans 1 and verse 15 reads, so, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Now, Rome was the capital of one of the most ruthless and bloody and merciless governments that has ever existed. And yet, Paul looked forward to preaching the gospel of peace with God in that environment. And when he was taken there as a prisoner, he did spend his time teaching and preaching whenever and wherever he was permitted. Paul tells us four basic and fundamental reasons why he was so proud of the gospel. The gospel is power. People respect power. There are many kinds of power. There's economic power, military power, muscular power, mental power, the power of the natural world. But the gospel is a spiritual power that influences the heart and the conscience of the human being. And in this way, it governs and guides and controls one's life, his deeds, and his thoughts. The gospel is designed to convert the heart of man and thereby lead him to live a life that is good, that is beneficial, a life pleasing to God, without the defilements of sin. Proverbs 23 and verse 7 reads, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Jesus said, "Out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh." In Matthew 12:35, "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." And again in Matthew 15, Jesus said, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." Well, we can certainly see from these passages the necessity to have a heart that's under control, and the gospel is the power by which this is accomplished. Again, the gospel is divine power. It is power of God. The power of Rome was in the sword. The power of Greece was in her culture and her intellectual attainments and in her art. The power of Jerusalem was her religious traditions. The power of Satan rests in his ability to tempt and seduce and deceive and mislead mankind through temptation. But the power of God resides in the gospel of Christ to accomplish what is needful for mankind. God works through his Son, Jesus Christ, and the gospel of Christ. God seeks to control and regulate the life of every person and their eventual destiny. He does not desire this simply for his own glory, but for the good and the salvation of man whom he loves. The gospel of Christ is not simply a gospel, it is the gospel. The word power comes from a word that conveys the idea of great power. The gospel is God's dynamo, his strong right arm, the grand display of the grandest power ever known to man. And of the gospel that he preached, Paul said, "I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it." And then he tells us how he got it. "But by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Galatians 1:11 and 12. Furthermore, the gospel is a power that is for the benefit of man. It is God's power unto salvation. Now, some powers are destructive, aren't they? They are harmful, such as the power of storms and diseases, and certainly the power of Satan is detrimental and intended for our hurt. The gospel, however, is constructive. It leads man upward, blessing him with regard to both body and spirit. The gospel is God's pattern and God's plan for liberating man from the bondage of sin. The gospel encourages what is the potential best in a person. It provides that great drawing power that takes man from his deeds of corruption and sinfulness into a life of nobility, into a purpose with purity and compassion and goodness. The gospel is a power that makes a saint out of a sinner. It is the way of conversion that totally changes man from within and results in a change without. The gospel of Christ raises man morally. It raises him mentally. It enables him to walk in a newness of life, able to bear good fruit in his life that is of both temporal and eternal profit to himself and to others. The gospel provides man the standard by which he is to measure all things and to know the difference between right and wrong. And when one walks in the path of the gospel, he becomes more and more like God would have him to be. It is that power, friend, that delivers man from darkness into light, from condemnation into Christ, where there is salvation. The gospel is the message that causes people to obey the law, even if they don't like the law. It urges people to develop their talents to the glory of God. It leads them to treat their neighbors with dignity and respect, and to have compassion for the sick and for the downtrodden, for the homeless, for the elderly, for all of those who are in need. And if one will compare those areas where the gospel has been preached and where it has been applied with the pagan and heathen areas of our world, he will see what the gospel does that is beneficial for mankind. What else raises mankind to the level where God created him? With purity, and with hope, and with happiness. And finally, friend, the gospel is a universal power. It is needful for both the Jew and the Gentile, and it is without distinction as far as race or color or social standing or educational background. You know, men have many standards of measure by which they divide themselves one from another. And while there are many differences and some simply cannot be ignored, all have the opportunity to be blessed by the gospel of Christ with equal blessing. Indeed, all have sinned, and all need to be saved, and the wages of sin is the same for all, namely spiritual death, Romans 6 and verse 23. But Galatians 3 tells us, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. It is important that we know that the benefits of this divine, universal, beneficent power are conditional. One part of the gospel consists of certain commands that are to be obeyed. Yes, there are facts to be believed, and the promises and the hopes are there for ours to enjoy. But before we are the recipients of those blessings, we must meet the condition of obeying the commands that change our relationship to God and make us His child in Christ. The invitation is, whosoever will may come, but man must come. God is no respecter of persons, but He is a respecter of character. He is a respecter of obedience. The person who believes and obeys the command of repentance, confession of Christ and baptism is the one who partakes of the gospel blessings of forgiveness of sins and fellowship with God. And as he sojourns through life and allows the gospel to be his guide, he constantly benefits from this great power. It is sad, but it is true, that even though this great power is before us and its blessings offered to us, many reject it in disobedience. And like the very best of medicines, it will accomplish nothing for us until it is applied. If not believed and obeyed, this greatest power will lie dormant as far as we are personally concerned, and God will take vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.